Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Catch the words there. Trust, lean, and acknowledge. This is what we're talking about today. Think for a second. Think about Joseph. Everybody knows the story of Joseph. He sat in a prison for years, and you know, what do you think he thought about as he's sitting there for hours on end every day? You know, although the Bible doesn't record the questions he had, he may have wondered when his trial was ever going to end, if it was ever going to end. What we do know about Joseph is that he was a man that trusted God implicitly. It would have been easy for him to quit, yet everywhere he went, he was the best at what he did, and he found favor with everybody around him. They could not fault his character at all. Although he wouldn't have had Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 to guide him, he certainly applied these principles of this verse in his life. Now put yourself in Joseph's shoes for a moment. Imagine sitting in prison for a crime you didn't do, just for the record, and living your life not knowing how God's going to work everything out. You know, Proverbs chapter 3 would be your lifeline in a dark time like that. This would be a passage you would most likely need to quote to yourself every single day to help you understand what was going on. Coming back to reality, think about your life right now. What decisions do you have to make coming up? Are there any changes coming up in your life soon? What is the unknown for you right now? What is the unknown? As humans with limited knowledge, we live our lives not knowing what tomorrow is going to bring. It's just life. If we're not careful, we can allow this to bring fear and trepidation into our hearts. It can cause us to worry and to fear. But as Christians, we have no reason to fear. We really have no reason to fear. God has given us a formula for knowing what to do and how to handle it. Although he will not show us the future, he has shown us what steps to take to find out what it's going to be. And he's going to show you one step at a time. We find this in Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. The first word we're talking about is trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The words trust, faith, and believe all have basically the same meaning in the Bible, give or take a little bit. They all have the same core meaning depending on the context. But there are specific connotations, though, for each of these words. When the Bible speaks of trust, it speaks of a couple of things in particular. Which one? This one, right? Trust. All right, good. To be persuaded. When the Bible speaks of trust, it's talking about being persuaded. To be persuaded by anything is to be moved to action, caused to do something. Trusting in the Lord goes so much further than merely thinking that God probably is what he says he is. It's so much more than thinking God is good, thinking God is sovereign, thinking God is love. It's so much more than that. It means to be completely convinced that he is everything he claims to be. Everything that happens in your life, whether good or bad, is not always authored by God, but it is allowed by God. He allows it to happen. That's a conversation for another day. I have some trepidation about that just as it is. But if you're going through a trial, you have no reason to doubt God that he allowed it or anything. And what you can do is you can trust that he has something to do with it and that it's part of his perfect plan for you. Nothing's going to happen to you that God has not foreordained previously. You need to be persuaded that he is good, be convinced that he is wise, and be sure that he is perfect. To trust also means to be obedient. If you are convinced that God's ways are the best, that belief should naturally lead to obedience, just as a natural outcome. You know, why would you reject that which you truly believe is the best for you? You know, obedience to Christ is a key way to prove that you truly do trust the Lord. You know, as missionaries come to the church or as projects crop up and stuff, the Lord may lay it on your heart to do something special or to give a certain amount or whatever. He may even ask you to increase what you give on a weekly basis. It's possible. If you truly believe that the Lord will bless you, even if what you give seems to be too much already, you will give what he lays on your heart if you truly believe him. But if after you receive clear direction from the Lord, you fight his Holy Spirit, you are saying to God that you know better than he does what is good for you. And trust me, clearer words were never spoken. You're saying you don't trust God. True trust is always backed up by obedience. Always. You cannot just say that you trust God if you do not obey God. It's just the two things just don't go together at all. Trust also means to be willing. You know, desperately wanting to win, your will fights against the Holy Spirit. It does. As a natural outcome of the flesh, it does. And in order for you to trust the Lord, your will needs to be broken. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a perfect description of what a willing heart does. Let's say I have an envelope with the words God's will written on it. All right? What if I told you that God told me exactly what his will for your life is, and it's in this envelope right here? What if everything God wanted you to do is sitting in here waiting for you to open it? Would you be willing to open it? Would you be willing to open it? Most of us, if you're impressed about it, you're going to look at it and say, what's in it? Like that's going to make it better. You know, in this envelope could be cancer. Could be a miscarriage. Could be 10 kids. Could be no kids. Are you willing to do whatever it is that God has for you? One of the greatest biblical examples of someone willing to do what God asked of him was Joshua. Turn to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua, I love this story about Joshua and Jericho. I'm going to try to scoot around the edges of it, but I love this story. It's amazing. 6, right? Chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Right off the bat, God sits Joshua down and says, it's yours. It's done. I've given it to you already. You have it. You know, Joshua should be able to trust God from this point forward, don't you think? And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. You know what happened. They blew with the trumpets and the walls came down. What God asked Joshua to do is very, very unusual. I'm sure there are some very, very good reasons for this. I thought of a few while I was thinking about it. But it was an extraordinary thing that God asked Joshua to do. It was different. It was interesting. Verse 14. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time when the priest blew the trumpet, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Etc., etc. Verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. You know, how do you defend against an attack where the wall just falls straight down, you're completely surrounded, and everybody comes up at the same time? There's no way to direct your defense. It's brilliant. It's perfect. And by the 7th day, you can bet that the people of Jericho are completely psyched out of their minds because it was such a show of force from God's people. At this point in Israel's history, they had seen God do a great many wonderful, incredible, impossible things, you know, like the plagues on Egypt and whatnot. God miraculously brought them out of Egypt and had allowed them to cross the Red Sea. In itself was a flaming miracle. It was amazing. Then God told Joshua and the children of Israel to take a step of faith, a step they had to be willing to take. You want it? It's yours already. You got to do it my way. Like most things in the Christian life, you want it, that's fine, you've got it already, but you've got to do it my way. It's funny that way. As they faced Jericho, which was probably their toughest battle, God had them do something that could have seemed strange. And they could have had all kinds of questions in their mind about what God was doing with this. You know, they're all thinking Joshua's out of his mind. He's crazy. But they were willing to do what God asked of them. They trusted God, did what he asked, and the walls came down, just like he said. Archaeology today will prove that the walls literally fell straight down. You know, if you want to see walls come down in your life, the walls of fear and pain and sin and dependence and those kind of things, you need to be willing to do whatever God asks you to do. If God will do it, it's got to be his way, though. You got to do it his way. You can go to the world for all your answers and problems and suggestions and tricks and whatever, but God wants you to do it his way, whatever that is. If you seek fulfillment anywhere other than God, you will find yourself disappointed. You need to trust in him with all your heart. That's the trust. The second word is lean. excuse me, which means primarily to rely upon. One of the most dangerous places to be in this world, especially as a Christian, is in a place in which you're relying on your own understanding of whatever. You know, so often we try to reason in our minds, what is God doing? What is God's will? What must it be? You know, we form scenarios in our mind, and we weigh out the pros and cons, and in so doing, we eliminate God from the picture. We try to logic our way through it and see if it makes sense to me. Excuse me. You can tell I'm going to teach this week. I've been sick all week. Never rely on your own understanding. Ever. This includes your own understanding of what you assume God's will to be. And so often we become consumed with our own hopes and dreams and we convince ourselves that these are God-given dreams. Well, the problem is when we love those dreams more than we love God. We love what we think is going on. You know, it really is good to have a vision of the future. It really is. The Bible says without a vision, people perish. But it's got to be focused on God. It's got to be from God. It's got to be a part of what he's got going on. You know, it's good to desire for God to use us. But our desire for God to use us should never replace our desire to simply know him and to love him and appreciate him. Never trust in what you think God is doing. Just trust God. Just trust in God. To lean also means to rest. When you say you're resting on something, you're conveying a message. You convey that you're finding comfort in what you're resting on, whether it's a chair or whatever. You're finding comfort in what you're resting on. You found a spot that brings ease and contentment. As you lean on God, you'll be amazed at the peace that he will bring you. He actually promises this. Thou wilt keep in perfect peace him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. He promises that. Perfect peace. You can have that. As a normal course of life, you can have that. If your mind is stayed on God and you're focused on him and he's your everything. When you're trusting in the Lord, you have no reason to worry about anything. No reason to worry at all. You're resting in the Almighty God of the universe, the God who spoke this world into existence. He has a perfect plan for your life, no matter who you are, no matter what you are. He has a perfect plan for your life. You know, now, no matter how unfortunate the circumstances may seem right now, it's part of God's plan. But when you trust him, you will find rest and perfect peace. And the Bible says this over and over in a number of places. Come on, today. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication. That's the part that you do. You focus on God, you pray and you ask, and you focus on God. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And be grateful for it. We're going to talk about that later. And be grateful for it. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, which means you, it's the peace is something that you're not going to understand in the flesh. Don't lean on your own understanding. You don't. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's an amazing promise. It really, really is. It's impressive. And like I said, it's a dynamic two-way relationship. God does his part, you do your part. And it works. It works. All right. To rely upon also means to acknowledge. Trust, lean, and acknowledge. This word means to perceive and to recognize. As you recognize God in all that you do, he will direct thy steps. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy steps. There are three ways to acknowledge God. This comes back to our part of the relationship. There are three ways to acknowledge God. Through prayer. The minute you pray, you have acknowledged God. You know, isn't it a blessing that prayer is not limited to a specific time or day or place or a thing? You know, aren't you thankful you don't have to set up an appointment to talk to God? I mean, he's there literally for us all the time. Imagine a secretary would have a really tough job. God's always available for you, and he wants to hear from you. There is nothing that God wants more. That's what I get for fooling around a paperclip. There's nothing that God wants more than to spend time with his people. He says in Jeremiah, call unto me, and I will answer thee. The promise that you can bank on. This is true. You can do this. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Another outstanding verse. As you go through your day, pray constantly. You don't have to close your eyes the whole time. You don't have to be in a kneeling position or anything like that. Anytime that you can actually think, you can pray. In fact, God commands almost exactly the same thing. Pray without ceasing. This verse teaches us to be in a constant state of prayer. They say you can tell true friends when there's long stretches and long quiet stretches in the conversation. You have a quiet, peaceful assurance in each other. You don't need to fill the empty moments. It's a comfortable peace. What that means for us is to be in communication with God as if you were talking to a person, walking with you all day long. After all, it's exactly what he's doing. He is there. He is with you all day long. You are simply acknowledging his presence. Acknowledge him. One of the most influential prayer warriors of all time was George Mueller. He was famous for the orphanages which he ran in England. And to someone who didn't believe in God, it would have seemed strange that George Mueller, his idea of caring for his orphans was unreliable. It's strange. They couldn't understand it. Haphazard, even foolhardy. He didn't make enough money to buy everything the orphans needed, and he didn't ask for any funding. He didn't ask for any money. He relied solely on prayer. As he faithfully prayed for needs to be met, God faithfully supplied every single need. I read his biography. It was amazing. God supplied every need. On one particular occasion, the children at the orphanage just came to their breakfast. They came to the breakfast table ready for their meal, just as they did every morning, every single morning. What they did not know is there was nothing for them to eat. There was literally nothing there for them to eat. He had the children pray for the Lord to bless their food, even though he himself didn't know where the food was going to come from. He didn't know. Shortly after the kids prayed, a baker stopped, knocked on the front door, and offered them free loaves of bread. Then a milk wagon broke down right in front of the orphanage, and they had milk for the whole day. They gave all the milk to the orphanage so it wouldn't go bad. The Lord had provided all the milk and bread that the children needed for the whole day. The whole day. You know, we need to be just like Mr. Mueller. Take our cares to the Lord in prayer. You know, maybe come before the Lord in faith, believing that we are praying to the Almighty God of the universe. The thing is, the same God that George Mueller saw perform all those incredible miracles day in and day out, it's the same God we pray to today. He has not changed. He has not changed. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out the arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Guys, this is our God, whom we have a deep personal relationship with. If you're truly a child of God, there's nothing good that could be withheld from you. That God wants us to spend time with him every single day. You can bet that there's nothing in the life that's too hard for God to handle. All right, so we acknowledge him. We can also acknowledge him through praise. You not only acknowledge God through prayer, but you also acknowledge him through praise. After you've been at this for a while, you realize a few things. If you ever had any counseling or gone to an older Christian for advice or even done any counseling, really, one of the things they'll inevitably tell you is to think about some of the things that God has done for you over the years. Review those things. Go back and relive the victories. Not just relive them, but deliberately praise God for them. Each and every one of them. The Bible says that God lives in the praises of his saints. It means that much to him. Thou art holy, O Israel, and inhabitest the praises of Israel. God literally, Johnny Pope taught a sermon on this one. It was great. It was, God lives in the praises of his saints. It's a place he likes to be. It's his happy place. When you praise the Lord, you're acknowledging him by giving him credit that he truly, honestly deserves. You give him the credit he deserves. So think about this. When was the last time you took a minute to just ponder all that God is? He is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. For everything you possess, God is the one to whom you should be thankful for everything you have. He provides you food, clothing, shelter, you name it, he's provided it. He's Jehovah Nisi, your banner. I'm having one of those days when stuff like this is really hard to do. He's the one that protects you both during physical battles and spiritual battles. He's the one that protects you. Never take for granted the protection that he provides. Praise him for it. You have no idea the things that the devil's had in mind for you that the God has done something about. That God has canceled, God has knocked the other way, God has taken care of us, and all these things. Never take it for granted. Praise him for it. Come on, today. Jehovah Kadosh, your sanctifier. He's the one who works to bring you closer to Christ every single day. He works through you, transforming you into what is ultimately best for you. And don't doubt it for a minute. He's at this job every single day. Philippians 1:6. Being confident. You can be confident in this. And this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You can stand here as sure as you stand here and say, I know God has started something in me when he saved me, and he's going to finish it one day. He will do it. He will do it. He never quits doing this. He's 24/7. He's on the job. He is Jehovah Rab, your shepherd. He is the one who watches you, protects you, cares for you, leads you, and does all that a living shepherd should. From Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Finishing in, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When you've got promises like this, how can you ever truly doubt God? How can you not have the peace that he promises? If you take him at his word, this is all yours. This is all yours. He is Jehovah Rapha, your healer. Anytime you find yourself hurt or broken, turn it all over to the Lord. He can heal your broken heart like nobody else. And it's an amazing thing to praise him for. Speaking of broken heart, the Lord is nigh unto them. He's close to them. He's on the job. He's with you. And nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. This is what God likes to see. And it's part of a dynamic relationship that he manages for us. He's always going to be there for you. Always going to be there for you. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now this is an excellent verse if you think about this. One important way to acknowledge God is to use what God has done for you to comfort others, to be a blessing to others, to be a ministry to others. The pain you're going through right now may be a way of God preparing you to use you in some special way. You know, you can always trust God in these things. He's doing something special. He's doing something in your heart. And you know it. Let him have his way with you. Trust him. Rely on him. Acknowledge his working in your life. Acknowledge the Lord by giving him the praise he deserves. After all God has done for us, we should strive to give him praise for everything that he does. Everything. There's another way to acknowledge him. Through preaching and witnessing. You know, we tend to think that, you know, preaching is Dennis's job, pastor's job. The Bible says we're all preachers. We all take the good news of the Bible to the world, every single one of us. When we witness, we try to share Christ with somebody, we are acknowledging Jesus and his work in our lives. Without God working in your life, you're not going to witness. Without Jesus working in your life, you're not going to take his word to anybody, to anybody. Look at Brother Becker. It will be priority one. It will literally be a priority for him to do, for you to do. You acknowledge Christ as you proclaim the truth of his word. Don't just keep your relationship with Christ to yourself. Share with others what God is doing in your heart. It's important. It's one of the reasons why God does that in your heart, so you can be an encouragement and a way to provoke other people. Encouragement to Christians, a way to provoke maybe somebody who's thinking about accepting Christ. God can use that. By preaching his word everywhere you go, you acknowledge his presence in your everyday life. Be a light for him in a dark world. Proclaim the gospel to every creature, just like it says to do. That's one way we acknowledge him in his work in our lives. Take him to the world. As you apply these three words in your life, trust, lean, and acknowledge. This is great, because this is usually one of the first verses that a new Christian learns, is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. You'd be amazed to see how God guides and directs your steps if you are faithful to him. Remember what I taught up here that one time, just get up. The secret to success in the Christian life is just to get up every day and be faithful. Tomorrow doesn't matter. Yesterday doesn't matter. Get up today and be faithful. He'll take you to places you never thought you could go. He'll bring you to people you never thought you'd be able to meet. I remember the day I was at a buddy of mine named Angel, and we went on a visitation. And I led the middle linebacker of the Cleveland Browns to Christ. Knelt down in his living room and accepted Christ right there. It was amazing. It was really good. You'd be amazed who the Lord can put you in touch with. He'll give you opportunities you never thought that you would have. Just trust in the Lord. He's perfect in all his ways. His plans for you are better than any plans you could have for yourself. Lean on him. Rest on his strength. Be content in his perfect plan for your life. Be content with what he has for you. You'll be amazed at the comfort and peace you'll find as you lean in his arms. Acknowledge him in all your ways. He has great, great plans for you. Lots of things he wants to show you. Constantly communicate with him. He's there. He's here. He's there. Talk to him. Acknowledge his presence. Praise him for all that he is to you, all he's done for you. And don't just stop there. Preach his truths wherever you go. Teach it to your kids. That's the biggest failure in this generation, is passing the Bible to our kids. It's a bad thing. This final transforming truth is a comforting one. God's plans are bigger and better than yours. They really are. Any plans you have are based on our limited knowledge that we have, with my limited view of the world. His plans are based on his infinite knowledge. He knows what you're capable of. He knows what he can do through you. Your plans are based on your imperfect strength, your weakness, laziness, whatever. Your plans are based on those things. I notice how most of our plans usually revolve around me not doing much of anything. Take it easy, relax, kind of coast through, no problem. His plans are based on his almighty strength. Through you, he can get it done. He can get it done. Everything God's planned for you is far greater than you could ever dream. And if you trust in him, lean on him, and acknowledge him, he will fulfill those plans in your life. By some strange miracle, I am done.